in the altcoin season, if you are not searching for crypto gems on KuCoin, you're doing it wrong. As the home of altcoins, KuCoin is offering over 600 tradable coins. Whether you are a beginner or professional trader, you can always find a good product fit on KuCoin, ranging from earning products with passive income to derivatives trading with up to 100 times leverage. Sign up today to find the next crypto gem in DeFi, GameFi, NFT, and Metaverse. Join us with 10 million global investors and claim your $500 welcome bonus now. Welcome to KuCoin. It's KuCoin. Sign up to get a 500 USDT welcome bonus.
Welcome to the CoinGecko podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Young. Each week, we'll be interviewing someone from the blockchain industry to learn more about this fast-moving cryptocurrency economy. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The CoinGecko podcast is produced each week to help you stay ahead of the curve. Show notes can be found at podcast.coingecko.com. I highly encourage you to join our newsletter where we send out top news in the crypto industry every Monday to Friday. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Telegram at CoinGecko.
Hello everyone, my name is Ben and as usual, I'm the host of today's podcast. Today, we have one of the crypto OGs. You may recognize him by his nickname, Mr. Tron. It is, of course, none other than His Excellency, Mr. Justin Sun, the founder of Tron Network. Welcome to the show, Mr. Sun.
Thank you. Thank you for calling CoinGecko to host this podcast.
Yeah, great to have you. So, you know, before we get into the topic of the day, which is actually a USDD, could you please give an overview of the Tron network and what separates Tron from other networks like Ethereum, for example?
Yes. So basically we developed Tron network since 2017. So at that time, I think we are one of the also OG blockchain now. But at that time, it's a very new concept. So basically, we need a POS-based smart contract platform. As we all know, back to 2017, the biggest smart contract platform at that time is Ethereum, and it's a POW-based. But of course, after 5 years, Ethereum finally also start to move to POS mode as well. But at that time, I think POS is a very new concept. So the main token at that time trade on the market, Bitcoin, Ethereum, like Monero, most of the Zcash, like most of the token is all POW based. So I think we are like one of the earliest POS mode public blockchain. So at that time, and also we are dedicated to solve the high scalability and the high speed problem at the time we have, because as far as I know, Ethereum has around 1 million transaction per day. Basically, it's the cap of the Ethereum transaction. I think for Tron, we successfully improved to 10 million to 20 million per day. So for TPS, we also I think Ethereum is like 15, and we approve like more than 2,000. So that's why I think we have a very large scalability advantage and the high speed advantage compared to Ethereum. And in the last, I think, 5 years development, we also see a lot of success on the Tron blockchain. Since, you know, even we started later, but today we become the largest blockchain for Tether. So basically, I think everybody transfer USDT using Tron blockchain today. And right now we are the third largest USDC network as well. So basically, I think today we have around 3 billion USDT, 3 billion USDC on Tron blockchain as well. So we've seen stablecoin developers and lots of people use Tron blockchain as one of the alternative compared to Ethereum. So I think blockchain is always trying to evolve, right? So after these 5 years development, I think Ethereum gonna evolve to POS mode. And of course, Tron, we also have some very interesting new developments. Definitely, I think USDD is one of them. Mm-hmm. So we can go through that later.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you gave a great overview of the Tron network, and you kind of mentioned the topic of today, which is USDD. So the question I have is, what is USDD and why did Tron DAO issue this stable coin? Yes. First of all, you mentioned you already have other stable coins like USDC and even true USD. So, you know, what started this?
Yes, sure. So first of all, Tron, as I just said, I think we are an OG blockchain on stablecoin. So I think we are one of the earliest blockchains so start to work on stablecoin back to, I think, 2017. So at that time, I think there is only one major stablecoin in the market called Tether. And the Tether is based on Bitcoin blockchain, so which is called Omni. So, which I mean, most of people is not like familiar with this blockchain anymore, because of we collaborate with Tether to migrate on Tether to Tron blockchain. So, so I think compared to the Tether era, we have like several advantage. First of all, Tether on Omni blockchain is very slow. So basically, it's very hard for you to transfer USDT from one wallet to another. Basically, I think it costs you 15 to 30 minutes, and also with a very high transaction fee. For example, I think every transaction fee is 50 to 100 US dollar worth of Bitcoin. So you need to make those transactions. And also, it's also give a very heavy burden on Bitcoin blockchain. So as we all know, I think the maximum capacity of Bitcoin blockchain every day is doing around 3,000 transactions per day. So this is basically the maximum Bitcoin can do, right? But if USDT is based on Bitcoin blockchain, it's gonna take a lot of the capacity from Bitcoin. So make Bitcoin blockchain even more congested. So that's why at that time, I think, especially when a day with high volatility, so people, it's very hard to make transaction because all the USDT contract transaction also occupy most of the capacity Bitcoin has. So that's why we migrate after we migrate USDT Tether to Tron blockchain is released lots of capacity even for Bitcoin, and also of course USDT got lots of big scale. So I think before that, everyday transaction for USDT is only around like 5,000 to 10,000 transaction per day. So after it migrates to Tron blockchain, USDT transaction every day, I think is around 2 to 3 minutes on Tron blockchain. So basically, I think increase, 200 times after it migrates to Tron blockchain. And also, the same time, you know, if you have like USDT on Omni, it's not smart, right? So basically, Bitcoin is a POW network. There is no smart contract. So basically, you cannot like use stablecoin to trade with other platform, you know, just as we do today. So I think that's like the second problem of USDT on Omni at that time. And also, of course, I think we want a very cheap network, you know. If you freeze TRX on Tron network, USDT transaction it's almost free. And even you burn TRX, I think it's only around 2 to 4 TRX to make every transaction. So I think the price is a minimum, right? It's around like 20 cents US dollars. So that's like for the first upgrade. And later, we collaborate with Circle on USDC, Trust Token on TrueUSD, you know. And also, we issue the first Tron decentralized stablecoin USDJ. So basically, you have variable choices for stablecoin.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, you know, so I think this is a good time for us to develop a decentralized stablecoin on Tron Network. So it's USDD. So the full name is decentralized US dollar. So I think that's like a good idea. I think the reason is because, you know, Tron has grown like super strong on centralized stablecoin. Today, we have around, I think, 40 billion US dollars worth of stablecoin on Tron Network. But the majority of them is centralized stablecoin, which I mean by the definition is rely on banks, redemption, and the mint. So this also make me a little bit worried about, like, if some days, you know, banks stop to serve the blockchain industry, they might cut off the settlement, redemption, and the mint and redemption of stablecoin, which I think is a big risk of Tron blockchain and the overall blockchain industry, right? So that's why I think it's a good opportunity. We start to develop a completely decentralized stablecoin, I think, which will be one of the major settlement stablecoin in the market, I think, in the future. So that's why I think 2 months ago, so we started to work on USDD and introduce it to the market.
Yeah. Great answer, Rob. And, you know, the biggest question everyone has on their minds is, it was pretty clear that USDD is modeled after Luna. Yes. / the Terra USD model, and obviously we all know what happened there, and everyone's first question is, you know, how is USDD different? How will it prevent the crash, or, you know, what separates USDD? How will it survive?
Yes. I will say, I think USDD is a hybrid mode with, you know, DAI, UST, and other stablecoin. So basically, I think we study like all the algorithm or decentralized stablecoin in the market. And then we basically, I think, take the advantage of all the stablecoin here and also make this like a better choices for the traders in the market. I think, first of all, I think the one of the disadvantage Ethereum and the Bitcoin blockchain is Ethereum and the Bitcoin blockchain they don't have like native stablecoin. So I think for Bitcoin, because it's not like smart contract platform, right? So but for Ethereum, I think today even we have DAI, right? So basically, I think DAI is the decentralized stablecoin on Ethereum. But be aware, so DAI is not like blockchain based, right? So DAI is developed by Maker. So basically, even you can use ETH as a collateral asset to mint DAI. But the governance structure is not like using ETH as a governance structure, right? It's using MKR for the structure, which also means Maker is just creating smart contract on Ethereum. So it's not like Ethereum blockchain-based stablecoin. So I think for because stablecoin is way too important, it's basically the foundation of our industry. So that's why I think, first of all, we need to have like a blockchain-based stablecoin. Luna is a it's a blockchain-based stablecoin, right? So Luna is the token for the blockchain, and you can use Luna to mint UST. But the problem for Luna and the UST is they only have, I think, one correlation, So basically, all the UST price, basically 100% based on Luna price, which I think caused this kind of the that spiral of the stablecoin, right? Which is happened right recently. Mm-hmm. So I think USDT is a hybrid mode of, I think we take advantage of all the stablecoin in the markets to guarantee the decentralization, but also at the same time guarantee the safety of the stablecoin. I think first of all, USDT use over collateralized mode. So basically, the collateralized assets is transparent on TDR.org, which is Tron Reserve, and also is transparent on USDT.io. So everybody can check the collateralized assets of USDT in the markets, right? So I think first of all, this provide a very good comfort for the participants in the market, you know. So they can start to see like how much percentage collateralized percentage for USDT. Right now, the overall collateralized percentage for USD is 300%. So it's very right now it's very healthy collateralized factor. I think right now we only take TRX, USDC, USDT, and BTC as collateral. In the Tron Reserve, but in the future we might expand to more more assets. Actually, this week we also gonna roll out PSM mode on the DAI. You know, like Maker and DAI, they have this kind of the PSM mode.
Yep.
So basically, you can directly use USDC to mint DAI. So basically, which is also one of the module they introduce into the DAI ecosystem. So we learned that as well. So I think start from this week, Wednesday, basically, actually it's today. So I think start from today, you can use USDT to mint USDT, even just like a PSM mode. So we have like a cap, right? How much you can mint, how much you can redeem. But I think we are starting to learn lots of features on DAI. So to but also it's different from that, I think, for several reasons. First of all, it's a blockchain based, right? So DAI, I think, is a smart contract based. So basically, I think we are even more safer than DAI because this is using the blockchain token. It's just like Ethereum compared to Maker. And also the second is because we are using hybrid mode, right? So today, you can still use TRX to mint USDT and redeem USDT to TRX. But also, we have like several choices. You can also use stablecoin to mint. So basically, I think the overall perspective, the difference from like Luna UST mode is, I think I will say UST and Luna mode is only, I think, 20% of the USDT, right? So we have the rest of the 80% is DAI and the maker based smart contract. And also we have other basically like this kind of the over collateralization, you know, to help the stablecoin strong.
Yeah, it's really cool because like you mentioned, you've been combining several models, taking the best elements of each model and lumping it into USDT, which is like a whole new model, essentially, like a hybrid.
Exactly. Yes.
And, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask, because you mentioned that you're using a several collateral assets right now, which is, you know, TRX, a bunch of stable coins, and even Bitcoin.
Yes.
Are there any plans to add any other collateral assets in the future?
Yes, I have done a little bit of research recently. So asking if community are willing to accept like Ethereum on Tron network as well as the collateralized assets. I think if the community feedback is positive, we probably will add Ethereum into the market. And since, you know, USDT is very actively expand to different blockchain, right? So So right now, I think not only we are on Tron blockchain, BSC blockchain, Ethereum blockchain, Arbitron, you know, Polygon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in the future, we probably will add like the blockchain token in different blockchain into the Tron Reserve account as well. Because, you know, this is our concept we designed the USDT in the first place. So basically, we need a stable coin not based on the bank balance sheet in the bank account, but mm-hmm. the network stable coin, which with each blockchain to back those stable coin, right? So basically, Bitcoin, Ethereum, all the layer one solution, we use the native token to back the blockchain. I think the one of the reason why we use this mode is because we believe the layer one solution token has the biggest security level, right? So which can guarantee the decentralization, but at the same time keep the stable coin safe.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's quite interesting you mentioned it because you are already expanding to different blockchains. And
yes.
I assume this is also part of the plan to increase adoption rate. Obviously, you want USDT
yes.
to be used as much as possible.
Yes.
So my question is two things, right? First, how do you bootstrap liquidity? Because
yes.
I think that's the most important for any stable coins.
Yes.
And second, how are you actually getting people to use USDT?
Yes. I think we have like several strategies to bootstrap mm-hmm. the liquidity. I think first of all, the most important for decentralization industry, I think is always AMM exchange, right? So I think today you can feel free to trade USDT on, first of all, on Tron is Sun.io and SunSwap.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we have a very healthy liquidity pool there. I think it's altogether it's about $300 million big stablecoin pool, and also on Ethereum you can trade on Uniswap and also Curve. So I think the liquidity is also I think around $40 million, and also at the same time we have liquidity pool on BSC, on EPS and PancakeSwap. And also at the same time, we are starting to build liquidity pool on Arbitron, on Uniswap, and also QuickSwap on Polygon,
mm-hmm.
those different layer two solutions. And also that's for the decentralization part. And also for centralized exchange, we have collaborated with KuCoin, Huobi, OKCoin, you know, and also Poloniex, and all different kind of the exchange, you know, MCX, and also all different kind of the centralized exchange in the world
mm-hmm.
To basically make markets and attract people use USDT as their major stablecoin. I think right now, the centralized exchange trading volume is also around like $100 million. So I think uh-huh. provide a very good liquidity, you know, on the market. And also, of course, we are also building a very big lending markets for that. So we have launched on Just Land. So right now, I think provide around $200 million worth of liquidity, right? So you can deposit, earn interest, and borrow. And also mm-hmm. at the same time, we will collaborate with the lending platform Ethereum and the BSC, you know, like mm-hmm. Venus Protocol and others to basically provide like lending markets for the stablecoin. And also, I think along with that, to increase the usage of blockchain, we have collaborate with KuCoin, Huobi, Poinex using USDT pairs. It's just like Binance using BUSD pairs. So basically, you can use USDT to buy Bitcoin, buy Ethereum, buy TRX, and we subsidize those trading pairs as well. So right now, if you use USDT to buy those stablecoin, the price is free. So you don't need to pay any trading fees on those trading pairs. So that's also a very big usage. Yeah. Currently, we are boosting like USDT. And in the future, I think we have more initiative. Recently, we partnered with Frax and launched like a Frax USDT pool, which also provide a good APY. And also, we will continue to collaborate with all different kind of the stablecoin markets, right? To, I think, provide like more liquidity, more staking campaigns to promote USDT.
Amazing. So, you know, one of the issues with Terra actually was the fact that, you know, Anchor was their key adoption model, where it got a lot of people to use Terra to deposit into Anchor. And so USDT is employing a wide range of incentives as well to increase adoption. And I guess the biggest question for everyone is, you know, where is the yield coming from, you know, to fund all these rewards and incentives like you mentioned? Do we need to worry about it running out in the future as well? How will you plan to keep it sustainable?
Yes. First of all, I think for the yield right now, it's all subsidized by Tron Dao Reserve. I think that's like, so that's why I think everyone don't need to worry about the like the yield problem, because, you know, for most of the, if people like taking, for example, like Ponzi scheme as an example, right? So the Ponzi scheme, you know, the high yield is suspicious, is because, you know, Ponzi scheme is always used the newcomers' money, right, to subsidize the people in the system, right? But USDT is not this mode. So basically, all the interest that we pay for people staking, you know, is come from like a Tron Dao Reserve. So basically, it's us like a subsidize for the stablecoin yield. So the stablecoin itself, you know, is fully backed by the collateralized assets on the Tron Dao Reserve, right? So it's just like a maker and DAI, right? So Maker Foundation might like subsidize the usage of DAI, so everybody can use the stablecoin, but you don't need to worry about the DAI itself, you know, as long as, you know, it has like enough like collateralization rate, it will be safe. I think that's the first thing. And also, of course, I think for the yield, we are trying to collateralize different sources, right, to boost the partnership. But the same time, you know, make the yield comes from different source. You know, for example, like recently, we collaborate with Frax and Curve, you know, on the yield structure. Basically, you know, right now the USDT Frax pool is provide both by Tron Dao Reserve and the Frax Foundation and also Curve, you know. So because, you know, they have this kind of the bribe, you know, voting system, right? So if we have money, we can get like CRV also like one of the source of the subsidies. So that's why I think we will collaborate with more more parties, you know, build the USDT together. So basically, the source of the yield will also be diversified, you know. Yep. So I think that's like the first thing. And then also, as you just said, right? So I think most of the biggest usage of the token will always be based on the on the usage of the stablecoin rather than yield, right? I think Yale is a good way to bootstrap the usage of the token. But in the end, I think the token reliability, safety, and also should be based on the stablecoin itself, right? People start to trust the stablecoin, use this as a value of storage, you know, mm-hmm. use this as a way of payment, right? And use this as what they use for their daily life, right? So that's why I think on this front, USDT needs also to kind of like compete with USDC and USDT, you know. But I have confidence decentralized stablecoin has lots of the use case compared to centralized stablecoin. Since, for example, like no one can freeze your USDT. It's a completely decentralized. You don't need to get KYC to use USDT, which is also impossible for USDT and USDC. And also, you know, USDT is also completely 100% decentralized. So you don't need to worry about like banking stuff to serve those stablecoin, you know. So that's why I think for the decentralized stablecoin, it also has lots of advantage. So I believe the future of the stablecoin will be very diversified, right? So you have a centralized stablecoin, right? Like USDT, USDC, you know, but the TUSD, you know, but you also have decentralized stablecoin. Like DAI, you know, USDT, so like basically provide like different choices for the market.
Yeah, like you said, I completely agree. There's a lot of benefits and use cases for decentralized stablecoins, right? Yes. They are the backup, you know, the alternative in case any form of censorship happens in the future, which is a very likely possibility.
Yes.
So there's actually one thing I wanted to ask, but I kind of forgot. So going back earlier.
Yeah.
So USDT has been around about 3 months right now.
Yeah.
And I think there was one very fearful time period where it actually depegged as well. And, you know, obviously you can have the mechanisms and everything, but ultimately a stable coin is based on trust. And even though it's a well collateralized and the foundation will back it, it's still depegged. And so I would just want to ask, do you think that, is this because people were still afraid of, oh, you know, USDT is like Terra, so that's why everyone's decided to leave. Do you think that there's still this fear that is affecting the adoption rate of USDT?
Yes. So first of all, I want to explain a little bit about the USDT DPEG happened I think a month ago. You know, first of all, I think in June, you know, when everything goes down, you know, Bitcoin goes down like 30% per day, Ethereum go down like 50% a day. at those time, you know, everybody feel like super panicking. Even you know USDT, I think at the maximum scale, like went down like also around 8% or something. You know, in Binance, you know, even people start to FUD, you like USDC, you know. So basically a month ago, you know, FUD is everywhere. So for this background, so I think it's very easy for people to dump like USDT and also TRX at that time. Because like at that time, like just like everything is going down. So I think that's the first reason. And also I think one of the reason why USDT DPEG is also because lots of the people think this is the same as like a Luna and the UST mode, which is not, but lots of people believe in that way. And they actually borrow a huge amount of the money to short the TRX and the USDT, try to make money. So basically, I think their way of thinking is like, I missed the Luna chance, right? So USDT TRX is the second chance, you know, I'm going to bet all my money on that. So to make money, right? To short TRX and USDT to make money. So I have some like data. So basically, I think at the peak day, I think it's like June 15th, something like that. Basically, people short the short position open interest of TRX is over like $1 billion over the different platform. Okay. You know, TRX is only, I think it's a 7 billion market cap token, but the short open position is over $1 billion, you know. And then at that time, people is paying 1,000 percent APY for shorting TRX. So basically, in the market, people is willing to borrow TRX as 1,000 APY to short TRX. To sell TRX. Yeah. So basically, you know, for Binance, it's like every 8 minutes, every eight hours. Yeah, they settle one time. So basically, it's 1% every 8 hours.
It's about 3% per day.
Yes, exactly. So the funding rate is super high. And also for USDT, it's also very, very high as well. Because lots of the people thinking USDT, TRX will all go to zero like Luna, right? So that's why they are willing to pay a very big, you know, interest to borrow, to sell, right? So I think at that time, you know, USDT borrow APY is also go up to 50% APY. At that time, you know, lots of people is tweeting about like, USDT is super suspicious because, you know, they're paying you like 40% for APY lending, for borrowing USDT. But actually, it's not us actually at that time is paying those yield. It's because the people wants to short USDT, you know, they actually wants to pay 50%. Because once they bought USDT, they want to sell in the market, you know, they thought it's gonna go zero and they're gonna make a lot of money. So that's why they all though borrowing, you know, USDT, just probably like some people borrowing like UST, right? To sell to sell them in the market, you know. So that's why I think at that time, you know, USDT and TRX also is under like a very big like short attack, you know, in those period of time, which is I think different from like USDT, you know, USDC, because they don't have this kind of the FUD, you know, background, right? So I think, but I think overall speaking, you know, eventually people will get back to normal, right? So after like two, three weeks, you know, people short TRX and UST, DD, you know, they can't find like any profit on that. They have to pay back all the funding rate and also the interest, you know, and you start to see, you know, USDT start to get repack. And also, you know, you see like USDT, USDC, like all different stablecoin also get repack as well. So I think this is also, I think for this kind of the situation, actually it's good for stablecoin adoption because, you know, I think this is more like a high pressure test, right?
Yep.
You see, to give a market, you know, like a back record, track record, right? They can check, you know, even on those days, you know, $1 billion is shorting USDT, you know, TRX, you know, it's fine actually, right? So, so that's why I think this is after we survive. I think in this quarter of the in this kind of the short attack, I think we can get more trust from markets. Yep. You know, people will feel like USDT is reliable. You know, just like DAI, right? Also survived in like, several attack as well. So people will start to think, you know, using USDT is okay, you know, no problem, right? Safe, you know.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. I just kind of want to end the session here with this last question. You know, in case is there anything else you'd like to share before we close the session off?
Yes.
About Tron or anything like that and all.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Okay. I think then that's about it. Thank you so much, Mr. Sun, for coming on.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, that wraps up the show. Thank you for listening to the CoinGecko podcast with Bobby. If you like our show and want to know more, check out podcast.coingecko.com or please leave us a review on iTunes. If you have any feedback, do drop us an email at hello@coingecko.com. Join us for more next week. See ya!
This podcast is provided as part of the overall information on cryptocurrency contained on our website, is for your general information only, and does not howsoever constitute any endorsement, financial or investment advice, nor any solicitation or offer of securities or other financial instruments. CoinGecko and the podcast presenter makes no warranties, implied or express, of any kind in relation to this podcast, including, without limitation, the accuracy and updatedness of its content. All opinions and recommendations therein in the podcast are based on the personal opinion of the presenter. Please conduct your own research and procure professional advice should you, at your own risk, decide to howsoever invest or trade in relation to the content contained in the podcast.